This morning, as I said, I was thinking about Proverbs because of graduations and things like that, but actually there was a particular passage of Scripture that came to mind when I was sitting at National Conference, and it wasn't part of the message. It was just a quote for something else that they were saying, and it kind of stuck with me, and I thought, that's something that I want to share at Grace as I think about, and I said in June, we've got graduations, kind of next steps. Lots of people are thinking about the future. In addition to that, I've just been thinking about some things that have been happening within our country and nation, some heavy things, some difficult things that I've been trying to work out. How do I speak into that in a way that is honoring to God, in a way that is not just making us feel like we're defeated in some way, but also emphasizing the importance and the urgency of the hour as we see extreme brokenness all around us. And actually, this particular message is actually even more fitting since we've just had this sacrament of baptism. And the reason I reread that portion about this awesome responsibility is because that's what I think is Solomon is getting at in the book of Proverbs. Telling us this awesome responsibility that we have as parents, as grandparents, as people trying to raise up the next generation. Now I'm going to read this passage, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 27, in just a minute. I want to redefine what the word heart is. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. But if you're thinking to yourself, I'm not sure I can identify, it's been so long since I've had to raise kids, I haven't been in that season in a long time, maybe this kind of message is just for people in the process of raising children, people who are given this awesome responsibility, entrusted. God entrusts us to these children to help grow. And that's been so far long ago that I don't have any way to relate any longer. And I want to suggest to you that as Solomon, who I believe, is writing the book of Proverbs, wisdom literature in the Old Testament, we've talked about that before, God is our Heavenly Father and we are called His children. We're His kids. And so if you can't really identify with raising children right now and what Solomon has to say, maybe you can listen to this as God saying it to you. That God is reminding you of something very important as you try and figure out life. As you try and walk this path, this road, this journey we call life. Because if you're still living and breathing, you're walking this journey. Now maybe you've been walking it a lot longer than some others, certainly a lot longer than Amelia, maybe some of those that are graduating, but you're still on this journey and have some things to remember about this journey. And that's what Solomon is getting at in the book of Proverbs, who he is going to say, my son, pay attention to what I say. I've got some instructions for you, and I need you to hear this. Now, this is lecture number 7, instruction number 7, of a number of instructions from chapter 1 through a great portion of the first half of Proverbs. And we're just going to look at one small portion. But before I read that, I just want to remind us of how we define the word heart. And I did that two Sundays ago. I did that when talking about something Jesus said. Jesus said, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. And we talked about what Jesus meant by heart. The center of personality, I put this up 2 weeks ago. This is what controls your direction, values, goals, desire, will. This is how you decide to orient your life and the decisions you make. That's what Jesus is referring to when it comes to heart. And so Jesus was making the point, as I said 2 weeks ago, when it came to devotion to God as a good Jew, it was done through prayer, through fasting, and through giving. And so that said something about you as a Jew, but what Jesus was saying, it's not how much you give, it's your heart. the decisions you make, and I told you to take an inventory of how much time and money you spend on other stuff. And that's going to reveal to you what you treasure. And what you treasure is going to say something about your heart. Jesus is simply an embodiment, really, of all of Proverbs, of everything that Solomon is saying. And Jesus, in a lot of ways, is repeating some of this wisdom. Because if it's God's wisdom, then it's not going to change from Solomon to Jesus. If you read the Sermon on the Mount, there's a lot of similarities between what Jesus says and what Old Testament wisdom literature says as well. And so Jesus embodies this idea of your heart controls where you're going to go. We think about it and separate it in usually English parlance. If you're making a decision with your heart, it means you've taken out logic, rationality, things like that, and you've done it all with emotion. Well, the Jew never separated the two. They were put together. All of it is done in this one place, mind, heart. Let's put it together. That's what we're talking about. It's what directs your life. It's why you make the decisions you make. It's why you value what you value. Now, that's important as Solomon gives this instruction. Because your heart is going to be the guide for all of your life. And Solomon's going to use the word guard it above everything else. In fact, if you structured verse 20 through 27, the central piece of this passage is verse 23, where Solomon says, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart because from there, everything else flows. Now, Solomon's giving this instruction to what seems like a youth, somebody who's trying to grow and figure out life. And as I said, if that's not where you're at, maybe you didn't have children and you didn't have that kind of life growing up, then God's also saying this to you and to me as one of his kids. And so this is how Solomon says it. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount, he who has ears, let him hear. Listen, this goes beyond just, okay, I took it in my brain and now I walk out and be different. This listening, this hearing that Solomon's talking about, the same way that Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, is transformative. You heard something, and because you heard that, your life is different as a result. Somehow your behavior changes. Your behavior changes. That's what Solomon is getting at. Do not let them out of your sight, his instructions. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. His instructions, they are life to those who find them or follow them, who take that path of those instructions. He says, again, this is the centerpiece, like if you forget everything else, above all else, guard your heart from what gets in there. That place that you do all your thinking and feeling. That place where you do all your decision making. That place where you decide what you're going to value in life and the way you're going to orient your life. Above all else, above every other watch, literally it's saying, guard your heart. For everything you do is going to flow from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep your corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet. The choices and decisions you're going to make, give careful thought to that and be steadfast. Don't be shaken from those convictions. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. If you do those things, basically, he says back in verse 22, you are going to find life, fulfillment, fullness, purpose, meaning. That's what Solomon's talking about there. Joy. That's what Jesus said he came to bring. I came to bring life and bring it abundantly. That's what Solomon's trying to get at there. And so he He says it kind of in a fatherly kind of way, parent kind of way. Some of you do that same thing. You give instruction, advice to your kids, and they hardly ever take it, right? No, they're good kids, I'm sure. I'm sure they take it. But Solomon's doing that same thing. And so if that's not your experience or it's been far removed from you, God is saying the same thing to us. If, Ted, you want to find life, my parents have been, I'm the youngest of them, I'm 40, so it's been a while since my parents have been raising kids. If they want to find life, this is everybody. That's not just like me telling my daughters this, all of us. Guard your heart above all else and fix your eyes on this reference point. And don't stray from this path, because that's how you find fulfillment, joy, meaning, purpose, all that God intended life to be. Many commentators call this the anatomy of discipleship, because within this passage, I'm just going to list it out here for you. There's a lot of discussion about body parts, ear and eyes at the beginning. This is kind of like our senses. When you listen to a podcast, when you listen to the radio, when you see and scroll through the BBC news articles, that's what I do, when you watch the news and TV, you're seeing a lot and you're hearing a lot, and it's all coming in here and it's got to be processed somewhere. Well, the place that it gets processed is your heart, where you do your thinking and feeling, your decision making, your desires, your will, your values. So Solomon says, turn your ear and your sight, the ways you're receiving all of this information from the outside world, into you. And he says after that, the important part, above all else, guard your heart, because that's going to have a lot to do with what you hear and see. And then he goes on to say, your body, you, this is who you are. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Your decision making, what you see and hear, and the path you choose. And so on that path, we're going to say a lot of things. Our speech matters. The way that we talk will create patterns, ways of thinking. It matters how we speak. James makes a huge point about that in the New Testament. Taming the tongue. It says a lot about you. With our words, we can tear people down. With our words, we can build people up. With our words, we can create worlds. We're doing that now in our culture, in our country, with words that don't mean anything, like male or female. We're using words to create worlds. Solomon says, be careful about your words, because they have the ability to create. So those words and eyes and everything should be on a fixed reference point. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. He's talking about the road we choose to take and live our life. That's what he means by that. We all have to decide that from little on up. Now, when they're little, we're doing a lot more of those decision-making things. It's an awesome responsibility God has given us as parents. That fixed reference point is so important. When I was in high school, I played baseball for Reamstown. That's where I grew up. And I played for the town. I played for the school. But during the summer, I was in charge of preparing the baseball fields for all the games. For all the little kids' games, all the softball games, all the games, I had to prepare the field. So part of any preparation of a baseball field is the chalk line. You know, the foul line and the batter's box and that kind of stuff. And so that's what I did, and I would have a form for the batter's box, and then I had to make the foul line. So the foul line starts at the end, or depending on how you decided to line the field, right after the batter's box is where it starts, and it goes out into the outfield, basically to wherever maybe there's a fence or whatever. And so I was in charge of doing that, so I poured the chalk lime stuff in, and then you would walk behind it, and you would be lining the field. I should have gotten a clip of the commercial. I think it's a car commercial where the guy's trying to do that, and he's getting all distracted and singing or something. He's kind of going like this, not paying attention, and it's all wavy like that. I've lined the field where if I was looking down at my feet, and I've done it, you know, slowly you don't realize you start moving this way. And all of a sudden you look back and the line's like going out that way. And so there's never a foul ball because there's no real foul line. So what I'd have to do is start here, look back at those doors. There's a crack in between where the doors connect. And I stare at that and I walk. And I just keep staring at that and I keep walking straight ahead. And if I did that, the line would be straight, or at least as straight as I could get it. Some of you probably do that with your yards. Maybe you're anal about lines in your yard, and you look at something so there's no crooked lines in your yard. That's what Solomon is saying here. To fix your eyes, look straight ahead. What is that fixed reference point? Solomon says, it's my instruction. This is the fixed reference point that you need to look at. And what he's actually saying is commit yourself to the path that's already laid out for you. You don't have to blaze the trail yourself. Now, yeah, in one respect, you are doing that. You know, this is your life, you're living it, and you're blazing a trail. But Solomon's saying, find the one at that fixed reference point that's already been laid out for you. God's figured out life. He's figured out how you can experience life to its fullest, have joy, fulfillment, meaning, and purpose. He's done all that for you. And I'm giving you that path. Commit yourself to it. Don't get distracted from it. Keep your eyes on that fixed reference point. And above all else, as you're doing that, guard your heart. Because if they get into your heart, if your heart begins to stray, it can go all over the place. And it can get serious and ugly. If your heart begins to stray from that fixed reference point. Now, why that's important? A couple of examples I just want to give you quickly. The importance of guarding your heart. The importance that we've just talked about with mom and dad standing up here. I've done it plenty of times with other people. I've done it myself. Friends or family standing with them. You and me saying things about it. The awesome responsibility we have as parents, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as spiritual mothers and fathers, is to help guard the hearts of our children. That's why we do the sacrament of baptism. They become a part of this family. The path has already been laid out. We're not just saying, good luck, hope you can figure it out. And without that fixed reference point, it gets pretty dangerous and chaotic at times. I mentioned before, when we were talking about heroes, the name William Wilberforce. He was a representative in the House of Commons in England. In the 1700s, he was instrumental in ending the slave trade in the British Empire. And one of the other things he was passionate about was the realm of manners. How we as individuals, as a community, as a society, govern ourselves apart from some law telling us this is what you have to do. Because the reality is, the freedom that you and I experience within the world society we live in does not work without that reference point, without that moral bearing. And we're beginning to see that happen. So Chuck Colson, who started the ministry called Breakpoint now, he used this phrase to talk about a very similar thing that William Wilberforce was doing. He called it, you can either be ruled or governed by your conscience or by the constable. Either you can rule and govern your own life and heart, or somebody else is going to have to do it, because when your heart and life becomes unruly it gets pretty chaotic. And then we're going to need the constable to come in and bring order. Freedom does not work without the ability to govern ourselves. And we are unable to govern ourselves if we don't have a fixed reference point. So let me say it to you in this way. I heard this example given before, and it's very slight in what I'm about to say, but hugely important. Is it wrong to burn down your neighbor's barn because it's illegal? Or is it illegal to burn down your neighbor's barn because it's wrong? Is it illegal because it's wrong? Or is it wrong because it's illegal? What's the difference, I guess? Does it matter? One or the other? I don't need a law to tell me that it's wrong to burn down my neighbor's barn. You know how many thousands of laws we have on the books in the United States of America? Look at the mess we have on our hands. If we're not able to find that fixed reference point and govern ourselves, we're going to live in a chaotic world, and it can get pretty ugly. In the last 3 weeks, we're just getting a taste of how ugly it can really be. The evil that can run through a human heart to do what we've watched on our news television, on our news feeds. Is it wrong because it's illegal, or is it illegal because it's wrong? It makes a huge difference. If we can't see things that are wrong unless there's a law telling us they're wrong. No law will prevent what happened. We have got to come to grips with our problem is bigger than any particular law, any particular policy, any politician you want to name, any political party you want to name. They are not going to change the problem we have. The problem we have is a heart issue. We've lost our fixed reference point. This is why Solomon says, above all else, guard your heart. It's our most important and awesome responsibility that we have. When you guard the heart and everything flows from it, you have a fixed reference point. It's like true north. You can place me anywhere on a map and I can find my way. True north is a fixed reference point. You'll never get lost. Be steadfast. Commit to that reference point, because what you think about that reference point, everything else flows from it. And if we get rid of it, and if we need laws to tell us not to do things we know are wrong, we're in trouble. So guard your heart, because everything else flows from it. That's true of parents. That's true of what we've just done here this morning. I have an awesome responsibility, and so do you as a parent. Right now, it is my job to guard my daughter's hearts. They don't know. They're trying to figure out life. And so if I want to give them the true north, I've got to protect and guard that heart, because I know when it's their turn to get the compass in their hand and they got to figure it out, they know where true north is. And anywhere they go on this map, they can find their way. But that's my job right now. And Chuck and Janelle, that's your job. And if you're raising kids, that's your job. That's the most important job we have. We're not doing really great at it. There are lots of things that vie for our attention. And sometimes we just say, well, I don't want to just tell my kids what to do. They're 12, they're 13. They've got to figure some of this out for themselves. I don't want to just force my values on them. I want them to figure things out. Maybe when they're 16. Maybe then they'll figure things out. I don't want to put any of my value system on them. I want them to be free to discover it on their own. If that's the way you think about raising children, you're wrong. I'm sorry. I'm not saying that. That's what Solomon's saying. What I've just said goes in the exact opposite direction of everything Solomon has just said, all throughout Proverbs, all throughout the New Testament, all throughout the Scripture. God says it is on us. It's incumbent upon us that when this child enters God's family, it's our job to protect their heart. We are that watch person on the wall saying, that's evil. We're not going to let that in. And so when we talk to mom and dad, they say that. And it's an awesome responsibility for mom and dad. It's huge. But mom and dad aren't doing it by themselves. They had people up here with them. There's a crew right here with them. And all are you as well. We're in charge of guarding the hearts of our children. Because if we don't, well, I don't have to tell you what happens because we've just witnessed the things that take place. It is not our children's job to figure out life. It is too difficult. It is too confusing. There are too many lies out there. The enemy is too powerful to let my 13-year-old navigate life. I have to be a guard. And I have to guard their heart. Above all else, because everything from there flows out. And if I can just help them get that compass and learn how to read it, find that fixed reference point. Nobody has to tell them that that's wrong. Nobody has to tell them that my helpless neighbor needs a hand and I just go do it. Nobody has to tell them I need to help the poor. Nobody has to tell them that I need to try and love my enemy. They know that. They've got the fixed reference point. Nobody has to tell them it's wrong if I'm angry to go and take an innocent life. Because they've learned how valuable every single life is. How did they learn that? My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let these instructions part from you. Look at it as a fixed reference point and guard your heart. And when you do that, you'll find life. And when you don't do that, well, you're not going to find life. Now, I said, that's easy for those of us who are parents to understand. And I want to say we need to take our job more seriously as parents. I want to say that the scriptures are telling us we are not doing our job as well as we ought to be doing it. I'm not speaking out against sports. I'm not speaking out against extracurricular activities. I'm not speaking out against all the wonderful things we can involve our children in. Those are great. They pale in comparison to giving our children this fixed reference point. Because it's not just adults coming into my office. It's 12-year-olds, 16-year-olds. It's not just adults that we see making a mess of our world. It's 18-year-old young men. Our job is to guard our children's hearts and to instill in them what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The issue facing us as a country is a heart issue. It's not a law issue. And no government's going to be able to change what our problem is. That's something we have to do. And if you're not raising kids right now, God is also talking to you because I've met and have talked to with a number of Christians who have become very cynical. Older men and women who are acting defeated. Like, I can't believe what's happening in culture. And defeatism is one thing. Cynicism is a bit nastier because they're becoming angry and they're becoming bitter and they want to have nothing to do with this next generation. And if you don't guard your heart, The enemy can come and steal that joy. The enemy can come and steal that resolve that you ought to have. At Grace Church, it's not just my kids, it's our kids. They need us more than ever. And if I'm not guarding my heart as a Christian, whether I'm small or large, I'm going to lose my way. And if there's anything we need more than ever right now, it is seasoned hikers on this journey, fully engaged in the battle that we're in, not becoming cynical, not becoming defeated, not throwing their hands up. There's people in your family that need that fixed reference point, that they're struggling. There's people in my family that need it too. God's been impressing on me that I feel like I need to have a conversation with my family so that they know how serious this is. I don't want to see this continue to happen. And I know what God can do with a changed heart. He can change an entire community, an entire family. And if you want to see our nation change, then we need to start praying. And we need to find that person in our life that needs help to find that fixed reference point and engage. Then we need to take our job as mom and dad more serious than we have been. And we need to realize that our 12-year-old, 16-year-old, it's not their job to figure out life by themselves. Yes, as they grow older, we help them do that. But I am their guard right now. Chuck and Janelle, you're Amelia's guard right now. If you got small children, you're their guard right now. We live in a broken world. And if you've watched the news in the last 3 weeks, you've been exposed to how broken it really is. And if you know me, you know I like having fun. I love joking around. I like to do that. And I don't know why, but lately I've just been feeling like I need to say some of these things. And I realize they're heavy, but they're so urgent right now. This is a beautiful time of worship to see what God has gifted us. This beautiful little baby. What kind of world are we going to give her? Now's the time to engage, church. Now is not the time to throw our hands up. Is not the time to be defeated or be cynical. Now is not the time to be distracted with all the good things and miss out the most important. Above all else, guard their heart. Because from there, everything else flows. Yes, politicians can help. Yes, governments can help. Yes, laws can help. All that can help. They will not change what is going on. The only way it changes is if you and I engage at changing people's hearts. And it's not our job to do that. It's God's. Ezekiel chapter 37 is a story about an entire valley. If you run along this mountain and that mountain and you run all the way out through there, we see dry bones, just dead skeletons. God breathes on them. The breath of God, and they become this vast and powerful army. That's what our country needs right now. The church to be that army. That army that doesn't wield weapons of war, but an army that wields the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." This is our opportunity. This is our time. We may not have another chance like this. I want to end with prayer for our country. I want to end with prayer for the tragic events that have taken place. And I want to end with prayer to challenge each one of you. There's somebody in your life that needs help finding that fixed reference point. And I want to challenge you as moms and dads, as grandmas and grandpas, to see the urgency of the hour. I want to challenge you, as if you're a part of Grace Church family, to say that these are not Ted's kids or Chuck and Janelle's kids. These are our kids. These are our children that God has entrusted us with. It's my job to guard their heart. If we do that, if we can turn hearts towards God, we'll see something very different. We'll see God's movement, and we'll see life return, and not death. Solomon says, guard your heart, for from everything it flows. Point them to that fixed reference point, to God. And you can put them anywhere on a map, and they'll be able to find their way. Let's pray. God, this morning we are thankful for the opportunity to celebrate life and celebrate the life that you have given to Amelia and to Chuck and Janelle as mom and dad and the awesome responsibility. Lord, you've not just given that to them, but their family and friends that have gathered with them, Lord. Grace Church family who has embraced them this morning once again. And God, I pray that as we see the tragic events happen within our country, Lord, I pray for this nation and I pray for hearts to be changed. And Lord, those hearts are changed because we, the church, engage. God, it's because we, the church, take that watch on that tower, on that wall serious, and we guard the hearts of our children. It's because we, Lord God, choose to speak into the life of that young person who's trying to figure out this path, this journey. It's because we ourselves guard our hearts and not grow cynical and defeated and tired and miserable and angry at what we see happening. But it's because we continue to live for Jesus. God, I pray that you would change our hearts. God, I pray that you would change the hearts in this nation. I pray, God, that we would rediscover this fixed reference point that we so desperately need, and that we would be able to fight this battle with truth, with love, with compassion, and with boldness, Lord, and to speak it with courage as Jesus himself has done. And Lord, I pray that you would not take from our mind that person that you are putting there right now until we talk to them, until we pray with them, until we walk this journey with them. I pray it in Jesus' name.